Welcome to Shir and Svano Pashas Vizos HaBracha. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Marty and Fran Shulman, marking the art site tonight of her father, Yaakov Moshe Reb Meir, the Neshama Shel Avel Aliyah, Shesim Otznachas Ruach, and the Torah Mitzvos and Ma'asim Tovim, that the family are involved in. Well, we spoke back on Sunday, so we noted that the Svarno has a somewhat unique approach to the brachos that are contained in Parshas Vizos HaBracha. Generally speaking, I think our assumption is that the brachos, or the listings of the various brachos describing the Shvatim, are the brachos that Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed to each of the Shvatim in turn prior to his death. So when it starts off talking about Yechi Ruvain, V'al Yamos, this is the bracha that he gave to Ruvain, then to Yehuda, etc., 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 down the line. The Svarno somewhat uniquely says, no, really the brachos are only at the very end of Perek Lamed Gimel, starting with the last five psukim, Barzel Nechoshes Minolecha, Uchiyomecha Dovecha, those last five psukim are the brachos. Everything that precedes that, everything where each of the Shvatim are mentioned in turn, are tfilos. That Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't speaking to the Shvatim, but rather he was speaking about the Shvatim. And that's borne out by the fact that everything that he says about the Shvatim is not in the second person, you, but rather in the third person, concerning Reuven, concerning Yehuda. Ule Levi Omar, according to this interpretation, means not to Levi, he said, but concerning Levi, about Levi, he said. Ule Yosef Omar, concerning Yosef, he said. I don't think that's the way we generally assume, when we just read the psukim, but that's the Svarno's perspective, that he's speaking about the Shvatim, giving davening for them, as opposed to giving them brachas directly. The brachas only come at the very end of the perek, when Moshe Rabbeinu switches into second person. So it's interesting to start going through some of these brachas some of these tefillos, I should say, from the Svarno's perspective, and we start off with an interesting observation that he has about Reuven. And we'll skip a little bit after seeing that to see what he has to say about God, because it's interesting to compare and contrast the two. So the very first bracha, or tefillah, that Moshe Rabbeinu utters is Yechi Reuven v'al yamos v'hi misav mispar. Reuven should live, he should not die, and his children, in other words, those people who come out of him, should be mispar, should be of a respectable number. Why would one think that Reuven Rachmano Litzlan would need such a tefillah? That, you know, why would one think that he needs the bracha of chayim and not mavis, of living and not dying? Why would one think that Reuven needs that kind of protection? So the Svarno notes as follows. Afal pi Shebocha Reuven be'eretz tmeo me'eva la'yarden. Shevet Reuven picked an unholy land on the other side of the east of the Jordan, the eastern side of the Jordan River. She'eno me'eretz Hashem. It's not part of God's land. Ka'omra v'achim tmeo eretz achuzaschem. In Sefer Yehoshua, towards the end of Sefer Yehoshua, Yehoshua speaks to the Shvatim of Reuven and Gad, and he says to them, even if in your eyes the land that you have taken over is tmeya, is impure. So, you know, as Reuven was part of a group that chose to reject Eretz Yisrael, instead to take a nachala, an inheritance on the eastern side of the Jordan River, and then listen to this. Ulefize eina kol kach muchenes liskos bo l'chaye olam. The land which Reuven inhabits is therefore not so fit to enable the person who lives there to merit Olam Haba. Right? So in other words, by choosing the Nachla on the eastern side of the Jordan, Reuven has damaged his chances at meriting Olam Haba, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu has to daven for him specifically, Yechi Reuven. Let Reuven live eternally. Mikol makom yechi levado lo'ad. Let him live eternally despite the fact that his poor choice in picking a nachal, an inheritance on the eastern side of the Jordan River, makes it that much more difficult for him to get in to Olam Haba. Ve'al yamos v'himasav misbar. Let him not die, let his children be of good number. And he writes this, in interpreting this, he writes, V'al yamos ba'olam azeh. Similarly, let Reuven, let the tribe of Reuven not be obliterated in this world. How would they be obliterated in this world? Ba'ofen shio anashav mu'atim. Such that there would not be so many people as part of the tribe of Reuven. Afal pi shekosav l'man yirbu yameichem al ho'adama. There's a bracha that we have at the end of the second parsha of Kriya Shema that you should have length of days and children. L'man yirbu yameichem v'mei v'neichem. You should have length and days of length of children, and the days of your children should be lengthened. But where? Al ho'adama asher nishba Hashem lavoseichem. That bracha of length of days applies davka in Eretz Yisrael. You know, it's the famous Gemara in the beginning of Brachos, where Rabbi Yochanan comments, he can't understand how it is that there's so many old people in Bavel. Right? Because after all, the bracha of Arichas Yomim, the bracha of longevity, of length of days, was davka given al ho'adama, on the land that was promised to your forefathers, Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is blessed with longevity. We never find that any land outside of Eretz Yisrael is blessed with longevity. As Rabbi Yochanan says, I can't understand why there's so many old people in Bavel, right? And the Gemara only answers that it must be because they go to shul. So now you know the secret. It's a good thing everybody's here. If you just come to shul every day, morning and evening, that's what the Gemara says. So you're zocha to longevity. Comments to Marsha on that Gemara. Why? I mean, with all due respect, I mean, why does the pasuk says al ho'adama? Right, that you're given longevity on the land that was promised, the land of Eretz Yisrael. It's very nice that the old people in Bavel go to shul morning and evening, but what's that got to do with longevity? What's that got to do with the pasuk? What's that? Kiddush, yeah. I mean, if you look at what they serve at Kiddush, in Lechara, that's a skula against longevity. I don't know, you know. It's eat kishka, live long. I don't know, you know. I guess so, right. That's the skula. I don't know if a cardiologist would necessarily agree with that, but so the Marsha over there comments very beautifully. It says the Marsha, because you have to understand, every shul at every Beis Medrash, even in Chutz La'aretz, is a little piece of Eretz Yisrael. So we're in Eretz Yisrael right now. We're in Eretz Yisrael on Willett Street in the Lower East Side, right? But we're in Eretz Yisrael. So in other words, the brach of Laman Yirbu Yumeichem, which in Chumash is Al Ho'adama, it's on the land in Eretz Yisrael. But really, you know, if you're in a shul in Chutz La'aretz, you're kind of in Eretz Yisrael as well. You're in the embassy of Eretz Yisrael. You know, even though you're not physically on the land of Eretz Yisrael, but if you're in an embassy, so the embassy has the halacha of the country that it represents. So we're in embassies of Eretz Yisrael, so the bracha applies to us. So writes the Marsha in Masechta Brachos. But leaving that Marsha aside, the Svarna was picking up on the simple pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk promises longevity if you and having kids who are going to have arichas yom, and we're going to have longevity. If you're in Eretz Yisrael. So Reuven rejected Eretz Yisrael. They went to live on the Eivar HaYarden. So now their chances of Olam Haba have been compromised, and their chances of Olam Hazeh have been compromised. So in order to counteract the poor decision of Reuven to live in outside of Eretz Yisrael, comes Moshe Rabbeinu from the get-go, and he says, Yuchi Reuven v'al yamos, right? He should live, he shouldn't die, he should have Olam Hazeh, he should have Olam Haba, v'himasav misbar, and he should have a lot of kids, even though living in Chutz La'aretz isn't really a skula, you know, for having many kids, or arichas yamim, that the kids are going to have length of days, right? So the whole tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Svarno, is to somehow counteract the fact that Reuven decided to live on the Eivar HaYarden. Fascinating. But right. So why is Olam Haba dependent upon Eretz Yisrael? So apparently the way he understands this is what gets you into Olam Haba? Olam Haba is ultimately about raising the spirit so that a person can live as holy a life as possible to prepare himself for Olam Haba. That Eretz Yisrael is the best training ground for Olam Haba. You know, you want to be in the Olympics. You have to go to the gym. You know, a guy says, I want to go to the Olympics. I'm going to go to Gottlieb's in Williamsburg, and I'm going to get myself ready. Okay, you know, it's a great venue, but maybe it's not such a great venue for the Olympics. You know, you have to be in the right venue to prepare for what you're preparing for. So if you want to be prepared for Olam Haba, the best venue is Eretz Yisrael, because that's going to uplift your neshama so you can get into Olam Haba in the best possible way. So Eretz Yisrael prepares you for Olam Hazeh, it prepares you for Olam Haba, it gives you many children and arichas yamim for children. And Reuven basically said, no, I don't want any of that. I want to be in the Eivei HaYarden. So comes the tefillah and has to say, Yechi Reuven v'al yamos v'yimisov mispar, you know, that Moshe Rabbeinu davens that his decision shouldn't undo all of these things.
I just want to ask one question. Is, yeah. The lowest of Shemitah and all the other
yeah. Right, so the Eivei HaYarden is a very interesting area in Halacha, because it does have some dinim that apply to Eretz Yisrael. At the same time, it's clear that it's not entirely Eretz Yisrael. It's not entirely Chutz La'aretz, but it's not entirely Eretz Yisrael either. And the way the Sfarno at least is learning is that, well, again, you could have something which is in the middle.
Yeah. We discussed that length.
Yeah. Right. No. So it has certain properties of Eretz Yisrael, but it's not 100% the real thing. So in other words, at least the way the Sfarno learns, these blessings of being associated with Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, you don't really have in the Eivei HaYarden. It could be. Yeah. Yeah. No. It's in other words, it's a chiddush that I don't know what Rashi holds, but I yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Now, whether you can deduce from that Rashi what he holds about this issue about Eivei HaYarden, I don't know. But in other words, it's clear that Eivei HaYarden has some properties of Eretz Yisrael. It's clear that it doesn't have all the properties of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the Mishnayos describe how it's not an Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash, right? It's not a land flowing with milk and honey, which has certain halachic implications. It's not entirely on the level of Eretz Yisrael. And the Sfarno is saying, I don't know whether this is uniquely the Sfarno or whether there are, you know, deeper roots for this idea, you know, that specifically the unique qualifications that Eretz Yisrael has to enable a person to more readily have longevity in this world and access to Olam Haba, those are properties that Eretz Yisrael proper possesses, Eivei HaYarden does not possess. I guess in theory one could argue with that, but in other words, so that's a very good question. The Pasuk says he had a lot of cattle. You know, so now you'll say, wait a minute. So a lot of cattle, you know, Olam Haza, Olam Haba. All right, but, you know, a lot of people make poor decisions. But what's fascinating about the Sfarno is to contrast his discussion of Reuven with his discussion of God. Because if you recall, Reuven and God were partners in this endeavor, right? So later on in Pasuk Chaf, Ulagod Omar, concerning God, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Baruch Marchiv God, blessed is Hashem, who gives expansiveness to God. What does it mean, he gives expansiveness to God? So writes the Sfarno, Shenosan lo chelek godo mechelek kol echad mishor hashvatim be'Eivei HaYarden. God really came out of this whole Eivei HaYarden scenario on top. He got a much bigger portion in the Eivei HaYarden than any of the other shvatim got on the western side of the Jordan River. I mean, again, just look at the map. The Eivei HaYarden area It's not entirely equivalent to the western side of the Jordan, but it's pretty big, right? I mean, remember, when the Torah talks about the Ari Miklot, right? So there are three on the western side of the Jordan, there are three on the eastern side of the Jordan, meaning that the territory is roughly equivalent on each side of the Jordan River, right? To the point that the Gemara asked the question over there in Masechta Makos, why are there three on each side? I mean, after all, you know, there are 9.5 Shvatim on one side of the Jordan, there are 2.5 Shvatim on the other side of the Jordan, so that doesn't really make all that much sense. But in terms of geography, the geographical area was roughly equivalent, which meant that God ended up taking a huge portion of land on the eastern side of the Jordan. Baruch Marchiv God. By the way, the Ramban says this before the Sfarno as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessedly gave God a very great inheritance. Ki amnam eret Sichon ve'og hoysa gedola bekamos. Because the land of Sichon and Og, which was the eastern side of the Jordan, which God took over, was physically very, very big. Afal pish lo hoysa zavas cholav udvash kemal be'ever hayarden. Now, it's true that, you know, as we mentioned before, the land on the western side of the Jordan River was flowing with milk and honey. It had quality, and that quality was lacking on the eastern side of the Jordan. But in terms of pure quantity, the land on the eastern side of the Jordan that God got was a much bigger inheritance than anything that anyone got on the western side of the Jordan. So, Baruch Marchiv God, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave a huge nachalah to the tribe of God. And then listen to this. The pasuk goes on to say, Kilavi Shochen. God will rest like a young lion. Roy Hu Lizos HaHarchava. Says the Sfarno, it's fit and appropriate that God gets such a wide expanse of land. Mipnei Shehu Shochen B'socha Umos Kimal Arye Le'echol Esvivov. Because remember, God is on the border, right? In other words, the other Shvatim are on the western side of the Jordan River. The tribes of Reuven and Gad serve as a buffer for them against the other nations that are further to the east. So God is protecting the border. And because he's protecting the border, Kelavi Shachin, he's resting there on the border like a lion, like a sentry, like a guard, you know, protecting Klal Yisrael against their enemies. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed God with this incredible nachalah. You know, if you're going to stand up for the Jewish people and protect them against their enemies, so you deserve such an incredible nachalah. So wait a minute. Reuven and Gad are basically their partners. They entered into the same venture together. So the Sfarno says Moshe Rabbeinu has to daven that Reuven not lose his Olam Haba and his Olam Hazeh because of his choice of Eiver HaYarden. And yet, when it comes to God, who did really exactly the same thing, Moshe Rabbeinu turns around and says, wow, it's so awesome, God, that you have such an expansive area. Everybody's got a backyard and a pool, and, you know, you've got everything. It's amazing, you know, a five-car garage, you know. Everybody's got an incredible thing of land. I thought it was terrible that they went to the Eiver HaYarden. So for Reuven it was terrible. For God it was great. I'm not computing all of this. Continues the pasuk. We'll come back. We'll try to answer this. But continues the pasuk. Vayar reishis lo kisham chelkas mechokek safun. What does that mean? Comments the Sfarno. V'gam kein roi hu lekach. It's also fitting that God gets this expansive nachala on the eastern side of the Jordan. Ki omnam kishabachar God is eres Sichon v'og. When God chose the land of Sichon and Og, afal pish eina kikdushas eiver hayarden, even though you're right, it doesn't have the sanctity of the western side of the Jordan, hoysa kavonoso lahasig dover ikari etzlo. He chose the eastern side of the Jordan, not just stam, like to go back to Nate's question from before, it's not that God was simply interested in having a place for all of his cattle. No, it wasn't as simple as that. He had a tremendous thing in mind in taking the land on the eastern side of the Jordan. Why? Kisham, because there, on the eastern side of the Jordan, Be'eret Sichon V'og, Chelkas Mechokek Safon, the portion of the lawgiver is buried. God knew that Moshe Rabbeinu's grave was going to be in that portion on the eastern side of the Jordan. This is an idea which is referenced by Rashi as well. But the Sfarno continues a little bit differently than Rashi. Vayesei Roshei Om. And he came with the heads of the people. Who came with the heads of the people? So many Mefarshim understand that he refers to God. The Sfarno, following a certain interpretation in the Sifri, says Vayesei, he came, refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Visham be'eretz Sichon ve'og, also ha'mechokek b'roshei ha'am l'chboshes ha'aretz. It was there, in that land, that the mechokek, that Moshe Rabbeinu came together with the leaders of the people to conquer the land. And furthermore, tzidkas Hashem also, he performed righteous acts of Hashem, mishpatov im Yisrael, and his laws with Israel. Who is that referring to? It says the Sfarno, Moshe Rabbeinu. Sham also ha'mechokek et tzidkas Hashem li'Yisrael, Sheber Shomas Taraso. It was there, in the land of Sichon and Og, that Moshe Rabbeinu explained the Torah. He taught Sefer Dvarim to Klal Yisrael. Bisham Nishpat im Yisrael v'Yisvakeach Mishpatei Hashem v'Dinov Aleihem. And it was there that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Musar to Klal Yisrael. So, just to put this all together, says the Sfarno like this: God looked at the land of the Eiver HaYarden, and he said, I want to be here. Why? Because not because I have a lot of cattle. I want to be here because this is a holy place. Why is it a holy place? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was buried here, and Moshe Rabbeinu led the conquest of Eretz Yisrael here. He started the conquest of the land of Sichon and Og, and Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah and gave Musar to Klal Yisrael here. I, objectively, Eiver HaYarden doesn't quite have the same Kedusha as the western side of the Jordan. That's true. But I can latch on to another aspect of the Kedusha that's here, and for me that's significant, said God. So it all seems to depend on your intent and your focus. Reuven and God both went for that land on the eastern side of the Jordan. It sounds like from the Sfarno, what was Reuven's intent? What it says in the Pasuk, Umikne Rav. They had a lot of cattle. So they chose the eastern side of the Jordan, even though it didn't have all of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So on that, Moshe Rabbeinu has to daven. Yechi Reuven v'al Yamos. You know, I mean, he's playing around with his chelek and olam haba. He's playing around with his chelek and olam hazeh. We have to daven for him. God says, I want to be on the eastern side of the Jordan. A, because I want to protect my fellow Jews against the enemy, Kalavi Shachin. B, because even though objectively this may not have the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, but I see something here that I can connect to. I can connect to the holiness and specialness of Moshe Rabbeinu here. And says Moshe Rabbeinu, if that's your kavana, if that's your intent, Baruch Marchiv God. So Baruch Hashem that you get such a big nachala. So much depends on your intent, on your focus, on your kavana. Reuven and God do exactly the same thing, but seemingly for different motivations, and that colors the way Moshe Rabbeinu responds to each of them. Right, so where does Menashe fit into here?
It doesn't look like God's portion
was so big.
Right. Just remembering the maps and remembering things.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, this idea that God had a particularly big Nachalo is not just the Sfarno, the Ramban says it also. So I don't know how they would draw the map. In other words, you know, maybe they draw a different map than the map that's in the back of the, you know, all the Chumashim. Right, yeah, I don't know, I hear.
The other thing is, the Sfarno is wonderful, amazing, but if we break it down, the words in the Torah say, B'nai God and B'nai Reuven, both said we have a lot of cats.
Right. So it's right. So how do you fit this back into the into the psukim themselves. So it is striking. It is striking to note the following. And again, I don't know whether the Sfarna was medayik this way, but in Perek Lamed Beis in Bamidbar, the Perek starts off, Umikne Rav, Hoya Livne Ruvain Velivne God, Ruvain and God in that order, Otsum Me'od, and they see the land, and Vihine Amakom Mekol Mikne, there's a lot of cattle there. And then, Vayovol B'nei God U'B'nei Ruvain, the B'nei God and the B'nei Ruvain come to Moshe Rabbeinu, they say, this land is an Eretz Mikne, V'Lavodecha Mikne. So it's striking that originally, the observation about this land being a land of Mikne is presented as the observation of B'nei Ruvain and B'nei God, but then when they approach Moshe Rabbeinu, it's B'nei God or B'nei Ruvain. So it's striking that it's switched. Perhaps the Sfarno learns like this. When they went to Moshe Rabbeinu, they spoke in terms of Mikne, right? But it was B'nei Ruvain who were really interested in the Mikne. The B'nei God did most of the speaking when they went to Moshe Rabbeinu, but although they spoke in the language of Mikne, because it might have been embarrassing to go to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, we know you're going to be buried there, we know that you've given Torah there, so we feel we want a hiskashrus, a closeness to you, so we want to be there. They also spoke in terms of Mikne, but their motivation, and although they were saying the same words, the motivation was different in both cases. I'm saying that, I'm not sure that that's what the Sfarno would say, but the Sfarno is going to have to say something in order to just explain the psukim and say for Bamidbar. So perhaps that diuk, that is B'nei Ruvain or B'nei God, but then B'nei God or B'nei Ruvain, maybe that would fit in with this approach of the Sfarno. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lezakus, Yisrael, Lefikach,